Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of spiritual ecology and the shamanic and spiritual practices that promote well-being for all beings. I'm your host, Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share insights and practices to get ready, get rooted, and get real about your health and the state of life on planet Earth. We'll explore the wisdom of deep ecology, look at some sad truths about the disappearing more than human world, feel into earth-based practices and teachings, and take action to help restore the wonder and magic of biodiversity to our world. I invite you to discover your passion and power, to unlock your inner wisdom, and to connect with our earth family as you map your own path to service. I am a white woman recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many Indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the Passenger Pigeon, and the Gray Wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you are listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished and nurtured. You are here. The time is now. It took me a while to nail things down, but I'm excited to announce that fall virtual shamanic Reiki trainings are on the schedule and registration is open on my website. Level 1 and Level 2 are each going to be on 3 consecutive Monday nights, from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Level 1 begins September 25th, and Level 2 kicks off November 20th. I'll pop the link into the show notes to where you can get more information. And if this time doesn't work out, I'll be offering Level 1, Level 2, and Shamanic Reiki Master Practitioner virtually again in the new year. If you caught what should have been last week's episode, except I didn't get it out until this week, you know my crazy fairy fest story. If you missed it and are in need of staying centered and focused on what you're trying to manifest when crises arise, please check out the practice in that episode. It helps me so much. It's been a challenge to come back to a baseline level of chaos after last weekend. And yes, there is always some level of chaos here. Probably there too, right? And you probably know very little is actually in your control. So your nervous system is constantly sorting through inputs, trying to figure out what to get stressed out about. And if you don't teach your system to limit the stress to what you can actually put effort into fixing or changing, you are going to be stressed a lot. After a few weeks of intensity leading up to the fairy festival and the extra ding of our electrical issues at home, I needed a system reset. I'll admit I didn't do a good job in the moment of managing my stress, although I probably hid it well. During 15 years of teaching yoga, I got pretty good at hiding whatever was going on inside and maintaining that always serene presence ready to guide you into your bliss. I'm exaggerating a bit, But what I learned in front of a yoga class does help me stay cool under pressure in the rest of my life. Or most of the rest of my life, anyway. So if you listen to this podcast regularly or follow me on the socials, you might think I have it all together. I do not. Admitting that is part of getting real with myself. Does that mean I think we should all run around and let our inner turmoil rule our lives? Heck no. Could you imagine if none of us ever held the appearance of having it together? Someone has to hold the center and radiate calm to those who are actually in crisis or everything spins out of control. And considering the big crises for most life on this planet, there had better be people like us willing to be the center point for those around us. Do you ever do spells? Or say affirmations? Or pray for something to come into your life? One thing I've heard and believe to be true is that spells or prayers or whatever you call that calling in are powerful because they change the spellcaster. For the spell to work, you have to believe it will. All the things you incorporate into your working, stones, candles, herbs, whatever you use and whatever you do with them, has the dual purpose of announcing your intention to manifest to the universe, so the opportunities start to flow in, and also supporting your belief in your own power to make things happen. It's when you recognize your innate ability to manifest that things do start to happen. The ability to center not only yourself but those around you is also something you have access to. If you aren't sure how to get yourself there, do what I did. Fake it till you make it. Support yourself with breath and meditation exercises like the one I offered last episode. Drink your herbal tea like the one Sherry is going to share about next. Get on your yoga mat. Do a spell. Get out in nature and commune with the more than human beings. Make magic however it feels right to you. But consciously be calm, even if you're losing your mind over something. Be mindful of your thoughts spinning out of control. Notice how they affect your body, your emotions, because your well-being is essential to everyone's well-being. And now I am so happy to welcome Sherry Kurtikel back to the podcast. If you missed her episode on Raspberry last month, go back and listen. Sherry is the CEO of Victim's Voice, an app she created to help victims of domestic violence safely and securely document abuse in a way that stands up in court. Sherry is also studying clinical herbalism with an emphasis on traditional Chinese medicine, using Western herbs, and she's at the East-West School of Planetary Herbalism. Sherry's also an avid gardener, and she has a line of herbal products under the name Glitter Witch Gardens. She is also my dearest friend. Sherry, it is so great to have you back again, especially after the fantastic weekend we had.
Thank you so much for having me back. And it was a crazy weekend.
So you're going to talk about an herb today that I know is a great pollinator plant.
Yes. I think this is a plant that everyone should have in their garden. If you have a yard, you should be growing this plant. That's all there is to it. So today I'm going to talk about a plant that has a couple of common names. One of them is known as bee balm. And it got its name bee balm because it is a balm if you happen to get stung by a bee. It's also known as wild bergamot. Now, there are two bergamots. One is a citrus tree, but this is wild bergamot, which is an actual herb. And this, so this is all about manifesting. That's kind of the focus of this month, is manifesting. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that we are currently in the beginning of a Mercury retrograde, but it is a Mercury retrograde that is in Virgo. And Mercury and Virgo happen to kind of be friends. They like to play with each other in the garden bed. So as long as you set intention, you're specific about your intentions, then you should be able to manifest through this Mercury retrograde. So in honor of manifesting, one thing I wanted to talk about with B-Bomb, last time I kind of ended on the Materia Magica, but this time I'm going to kind of start because it has to do with manifesting. B-Bomb, wild bergamot, I'm going to refer to it as B-Bomb, that's what I like to call it, is really most commonly used in Materia Magica in work involving attraction. So if you are trying to manifest prosperity or more money, potentially some protection from evil or illness, maybe improving your memory, or even stopping interference from others' ill intentions, you can manifest this by working with B-Bomb. If you burn B-Bomb in any of your rituals, it will also increase the power of that ritual. And its ruling planet is Venus, but its constellations are Libra and Gemini. And B-Bomb is, and this will be a good lead in into more of the medicinal side, but B-Bomb's primary chakra is the solar plexus chakra and the air element. Now, that air and the solar plexus chakra, or that space around the gut, they are connected, because I know from personal experience, when I get stressed out, I hold my breath. And when I hold my breath, I get a stomach ache. So they are interconnected. And so with B-Bomb, B-Bomb helps kind of slow things down. It helps soothe the gut. It helps relax you. And so this is why it's an exceptional herb for manifesting something positive. And also from a medicinal perspective, helping to calm and soothe that gut. It is a warming herb. So if you tend on the side of being a person with more of a warm constitution, you may want to add a little peppermint in with your B-Bomb to kind of counteract that warming that it will manifest in your body. It is a bitter tonic, and anytime we use bitters, those are really, really good for digestion. It also is an emmenagogue, so it will, if you are pregnant, you should stay away from taking B-Bomb internally, because it can tend to activate those contractions and such. It warms and supports the stomach, and it also warms the lungs. So again, those lungs, those stomach, that's all connected. The part of the plant that we use is what's known as the aerial parts. So aerial parts are leaves and flowers, so the top part of the plant. And if you do grow it, you would want to harvest it when it is in the height of its bloom. But I say that when you do harvest, harvest with respect of all those sentient beings that also appreciate and need the B-Bomb. As you mentioned, this is a great pollinator. And so having lots of B-Bomb in your garden will attract bees and butterflies, but it also is a really good attractor for hummingbirds. Hummingbirds have those long beaks, or yeah, the long beaks that can actually fit into the little petals of bee balm. Now, for people who like really showy flowers on their centerpieces in their home, bee balm is not the most attractive flower in that aspect. It's not like a rose or a chrysanthemum or something like that. In fact, it's kind of scraggly looking. I like to equate it to a hippie plant because it looks a little like it just got out of bed with its flower petals. It's a little messy. For people who say, oh, well, I love planting flowers, but the deer and the rabbits, they eat all my flowers. Well, lucky for you, they are reliably deer and rabbit resistant. So they're great pollinators. They're rabbit and deer resistant. So you can have all this beautiful color in your yard without having to worry about everything eaten down to the ground. I guess in the last 3 or 4 weeks, harvested quite a bit of my bee balm and am making medicine out of it now. But you can also just dry it and make it into a wonderful tea. I do have a tea recipe on my website, and it's a digestive support tea. So you can just use a tablespoon of dried flower petals. And this is where you would take all those petals off, and then a cup of hot water, and then just steep it. Anytime you're working with flower petals, though, you want to make sure that you aren't using boiling water. So you want to bring your water to a boil and then let it sit for a moment so it's just below boil. And then put the petals in like a tea bag or a tea ball or something of that nature. And then pour your water in over top of it and then let it steep for quite a bit, a good 15 minutes. So set up your tea, go, maybe brush your teeth or, go find something to do for a good solid 15 minutes and let all those good medicinal flavor profiles pull and extract out of those petals. So you have a nice, rich cup of tea. So another interesting fact is that it was used, this is a native plant. So it was here in the United States as a native plant, and the Oneida tribe called it number six in honor of being the sixth medicine given by the creator. So it holds high esteem with many Native American tribes. Bee balm is also considered a diaphoretic, which means that it induces sweat and was used traditionally to induce sweat during many Native American sweat lodge ceremonies. So if you feel like you're kind of getting a cold and it's kind of starting to seep in your body and you just want to sweat it out, it's a great tea to drink. And it will definitely, again, that those warming properties, it's going to help sweat out all those what we call pernicious influences, those little bugs that want to get into your body, those virus bugs that want to get into your body. And this will help push them back out of your body. There are a couple of main varieties of bee balm. One is called Monarda Didyma, and that is the scarlet bee balm. And that's the most prevalent that you'll see in gardens because of the deep red scarlet color. It's a very showy plant. They do get tall. They can, on average, 3 to 5 feet tall. So you can cut them back when they start to get a little leggy, and then they'll bring up another show. But they are spreaders. So they're a lot like in the mint family, where they will spread. They grow in clumps through rhizomes, but they spread through your garden. So when you plant them somewhere where they can have some room to grow. The other variety is called the Monarda fistulosa. And that's the one I have growing personally in my garden. And that's more of a lavender, like a light lavender color, kind of a pink purple. I really, really love that color. And so that is the one that is known as wild bergamot. That's the wild version that is native to the United States. It grows primarily as showy between May and June. And the native environment is in the savanna or the woodlands. And it is considered a herbaceous perennial. So it will come back, it will self-seed. I just this afternoon was hearing these bird chirps, and I wasn't quite sure what it was. And so, of course, I pulled out my Merlin bird identification app, and there was the American, what was it? The American, I'm gonna have to look it up because I forgot what bird it was, but it was eating all my echinacea and my bee balm, American goldfinch. And there was a male and a female, and they were going crazy off the seeds. So that was really great. So every time I write about an herb, of course, I write a little poem, and it's on my website, and you're more than welcome to sing it in your head. I'm a terrible singer, so I'm not going to sing it, but it is written to be sung to the tune of "You Are My Sunshine." And it goes like this: "You're known as bee balm and wild bergamot. You make bees happy when in full bloom. You're a fast grower and will take over. Just like mint, you need lots of room. Monarda fistiola is native to the US, but named in honor of a botanist in Spain. The Native Americans used you quite often for snake bites, cuts, colds, coughs, and headache pain. Mi feng chung gao warms the lungs and stomach. It moves liver qi and supports healing wounds. Strong citrus blooms make great teas and jellies and other things you will want to consume." So, just to wrap up, this is a fantastic medicinal herb. It's a fantastic magical herb. It is a fantastic native pollinator herb. And it is a fantastic showy herb. So there is no reason in the world why you should not have bee balm, AKA wild bergamot, or Monarda growing in your own yard.
Thank you for all of that, Sherry. When you talked about that solar plexus energy center being connected to bee balm, I was like, yeah, that's our manifestation center. So anything that's supporting that is awesome. The wild bergamot, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, but it is my understanding that Earl Grey tea is flavored with bergamot. Is it the same plant?
I am not exactly sure. I know I read something about Earl Grey tea, and Earl Grey tea has kind of a citrusy note to it, as does wild bergamot. People often think that, bergamot, the orange, but it is different. It's completely different. And the bergamot orange tree is more of a, tropical. You're going to find that in Florida and places where it's really warm and warm longer and year round. Bee balm is actually, you can grow it from zones 4 through 10. So there are only a few states where you won't find wild bergamot: Florida, southern parts of Texas, southern parts of California, and Arizona. Those are places where you're not going to find it, natively growing, but pretty much everywhere else in the US, you'll be able to find it. Yeah.
That's really good to know because up here in zone 5, I I have been looking for things to add to my pollinator garden, so I will be putting that in next year for sure.
Let me send you some seeds and I'll dig up some rhizomes next year for you.
Thank you.
Before it takes over my entire front yard.
I love what you said about it being a hippie plant too.
It really is kind of a scraggly looking plant, but not everything needs a dense flower head. Sometimes you need more of that airy look in your garden, and it kind of breaks things up a little bit. It does smell wonderful too. It tends to sometimes get overpowered by all the holy basil in the front yard, but yeah, when you walk by, and I have it growing right underneath my office window. So when I have the window open, the bees are buzzing and the butterflies are always flittering around it. And when the wind blows, you can occasionally get a whiff, and it just is wonderful.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much for being here again this month. And it was again so great to see you last weekend and to be in the booth next to you at Fairy Fest. I felt like I was getting a little bit of an education just listening to what was going on over in your booth. And I look forward to getting together again next month.
Woohoo! Thank you. I look forward to it as well.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of My Shamanic Life. Check the show notes for the links I mentioned this week. And remember to like and subscribe to get weekly episodes in your feed with more practices, teachings, and actions so you can get ready, get rooted, and get real about life on this planet. May you find wonder and magic in the beings around you this week, and practice walking gently on our earth each and every day.